I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. 6:11 in the morning, 720 WGN on a bit of a rainy morning. Is it Tuesday or Wednesday?
It is. It is.
Only Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you didn't know either, Eddie.
I was going to say Tuesday, and then I'm like, what does the paper say?
I was like, why is it taking them so long to answer?
Our John DeCoste is in studio with us. John, I have to ask, it being a rainy morning and you having new knee. Singular knee. Yes. Can you predict the weather now through your knees?
Through my knees? No, yeah. I just go through skilling.
Oh, through skilling.
I still go through skilling. I can predict traffic, though.
Really?
Really?
My knee can predict heavy traffic or light traffic.
How's the Kennedy going to look about noon?
According to my knee?
Yeah.
Pretty heavy. It'll be pretty heavy at noon.
I can see what happens when there's a jackknife semi.
Yes.
Then what does your knee do?
John.
Twist backwards?
You don't want to know. You do not want to know what happens.
Can we blame you for it?
Yes. You can blame my knee.
Did your knee tell you anything about the stock market yesterday?
Yes, it did. Knee told me it was going to go down.
No, went up.
That's why my knee can be wrong sometimes.
He's like the groundhog.
John, can we ask you about, is Loyola going to win the championship game? Can you find out through your knees?
No, but get this. My knee told me today was Tuesday. I did not know.
Don't you hate when you...
I wasn't sure.
I got to get one of those.
You got to get a calendar knee. Right.
And then we always blame something. Oh, it's a shortened week. Oh, it's daylight saving time.
Oh, it's John's knee again.
God.
It's 3 o'clock brain is what it is.
I know.
3 a.m. brain. Isn't it always, whatever sounds good at 6 in the morning never sounds good at 6 at night?
No,
like if
that's
I said,
true.
Like if
that's
I said, hey, how about true. Tonight we all go out and we go to a nice expensive restaurant for dinner. We'll have some drinks. We'll have some steak. Doesn't that sound good right now?
No.
Not the steak.
No.
But then it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Right, Mary? Isn't that kind of our mantra?
Oh, yeah. And then by... Oh, sorry.
Sandberg.
You go ahead, Mary. I'm actually not Mary.
Sorry, Sandberg.
You are Mary. You're Sandberg.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. By 6 o'clock at night, you're just like, I don't know, kind of tired.
We're taking the kids to Justin Timberlake tonight, which is their birthday present from Pat's mom. What sounded good in February when they announced the concert doesn't sound good today at 6 a.m. because I found out he doesn't go on until 9 p.m.
What? Yeah.
And he does like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
That's what happened with Pink. I had Pink tickets and I was so excited. I'd seen her about a year and a half ago and the day came up and my cousin said, oh, do you have Pink tickets? I want to buy two extras because he wanted to go with his girlfriend. And I went, oh, I'll sell you mine. You know, but
like,
it
sounded good initially. Yeah. Well, the kids will kill me, I think, if we don't go tonight. But
are you working tomorrow?
I am working tomorrow.
Oh, so you're going to be on like fumes.
But Mary likes to leave early. Remember?
I know. I do like to leave early. Mary, good memory.
You can't leave just on
JT. I don't think. Catherine's big on seeing the
finale. Yeah, I don't think how you can.
John, will Mary leave the concert early?
My niece says that Mary will not leave the concert early.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think your knee might be right on that one.
Yeah.
Could you hire someone to take them?
Oh, no, that's a good... I like that.
Right?
Look at you, Dave.
Well, isn't Pat going?
Pat is going.
Well, then stay home.
Okay.
Their dad, yeah, so...
Yeah, can't you just say, oh, I'm going to go get some popcorn and then come back?
John, I don't know if you knew.
You don't sound good, Mary. Maybe you shouldn't go.
Maybe
right?
I shouldn't go.
Mary's Mary's kids were in yesterday, Patrick and Catherine, and they were absolutely delightful. I don't like that word
too often,
but... I
saw the clip. She actually sent me the clip. And what a lot of people don't know this, and we probably should announce this, that Mary is my surrogate stepmother.
Yes.
Your surrogate stepmother.
We have, yeah.
How does this relate to Amy Rutledge's twin, of whom you're the father?
I guess that makes me the grandma.
Yeah.
You're Amy Rutledge's...
I'm the grandma of the one twin that John...
Can you watch her tonight?
Yeah. There you go. That gets me out of the concert.
It's a boy.
Can you watch him?
The best
my knee told me it was one of each.
The best part of the Patrick and Catherine being in studio was when Steve asked Patrick, are you excited to be here this morning on the Steve Cochran Show? And he said, no, I'd rather be watching television.
That was the best.
He didn't get in trouble for that, did he, from dad?
His dad said, that kid, I said, hey, Steve said, you're not allowed to yell at him about that.
There you go.
See, my favorite moment was when Patrick said, and she asked for Barbie dolls, and Catherine goes, no, that is not correct.
That is not accurate.
I lost it. I go, that was so well done. They were so good.
My favorite part, and you can listen to, you can hear all of this at WGNradio.com. My favorite is when Steve gave Patrick a dollar, and he went, what the heck am I going to buy with this?
Yeah, that's
which is, she said gum.
Pat did not appreciate that comment either.
Then he gave him another dollar.
Then he gave another dollar. He ended up with $3.
Yeah, he gave him one on the way out.
That's $2 store certificates.
There you go. Right.
You got to look at it that way.
Yeah.
There's a service charge.
That's
a
maybe Cochran will just pay all of us a dollar every time we do something.
Well, he...
Also, can I say this? I want to thank Mary Vanderbilt, who picked me up at 4 a.m. this morning.
Very nice.
Came to my house and picked me up.
Yeah, you and your knees, right?
I thought that was really nice.
He was waiting outside, ready to go, flagging me down.
There you go. And again, you can hear all of the podcasts at WGNradio.com.
I don't understand the pickup. Were you just on the street or what?
I was just on the street. I'm usually on the street for a couple hours.
I did curb service, Steve.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, and her new car, her beautiful new car.
White Lightning.
You got a new ride?
No.
No, Jeep Cherokee. Oh.
Okay. It's gorgeous. It was
because
really
only
nice.
Steve drives
Jeep
the...
Cherokee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work as well, does it?
Not so much.
No, it doesn't.
Mm-mm. I like my car.
It's beautiful. Ed Fritz later. Dave, who's Ed Fritz?
Ed Fritz is the high school coach from Overland Park, Kansas, whose players, two of his players, played together since they were in the third grade.
Right.
Clayton Custer and Ben Richardson, who are now on that Loyola team that is playing in the Final Four this
weekend. Sister Jean 5.
I like that. The Sister Jean 5. That's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. John's knees predicted a win.
ABC.
You sure it's not the
easy
rain?
Easy as one, two. Huh?
She said you predicted a win.
I did.
His knees.
My knee predicted
a win. Are you sure it's not the rain?
Dwayne?
Willie? Willie?
Little Wayne?
What are we talking about?
Yeah, you guys are hilarious. Seriously, you should do the show. Let's see. Orion later. We got some stuff to talk about. Kid of the Week coming up here in a few minutes. Free Hawks tickets. You know, we've got two home games left, I think. Is that right?
Two home games left.
Yeah.
One on Thursday.
And then one next Friday.
One next week. Yep.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one, longtime Loyola Senior Assistant Athletic Director Tom Hitch is becoming famous as well. Who's Hitch? Hitch is a guy that pushes Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt in her wheelchair. He's been described by many staffers as the heart and soul of the athletic department. So how about a hand for Hitch? Speaking of Loyola, we got trouble. We got trouble. I'm not gonna lie to you. We got trouble. And the trouble is clear. The trouble is Jalen Rose's 100-year-old grandmother. Now, who's Jalen Rose? Jalen Rose, member of the Fab Five Michigan team that won in what year?
That would have been 90...
92 94? And 93.
Yeah.
That would be 92
there.
And 93.
Okay. Thank you.
Go Blue.
Thank you,
Super in the booth.
And Jalen Rose's 100-year-old grandmother has had just about enough of Sister Jean. Now, she's representing Michigan.
Oh.
Of course, Sister Jean is the adorable heart and soul of March Madness this year. Everybody's talking about Sister Jean. But trash talk is on. Mm-hmm. This is Grandma Rose. Listen.
Sister Jean, it's been a good ride, but it's over Saturday. Go Blue, 100.
How cute is she?
Wow.
But you know what, Steve? That's how trash talk should be. It's over Saturday.
And then she added, kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Young whippersnapper.
Yeah, what did she say? Let me hear it again. What did she say at the end here?
Go Blue, 100.
Is it Go Blue?
Go Blue.
All right, let me hear it again.
Coach Gene, it's been a good ride, but it's over Saturday. Go Blue! 100.
Yeah.
She just added her age for emphasis.
Right? Yeah, let it ride.
Steve, what do you think they'd say to Orion?
Oh, Orion would be just a young meat to them.
Whippersnapper.
Yeah. Well, that's not West Axe. I retract that statement. That's
please.
Really,
thank you.
Nick and Julio.
It's really
will
unfortunate.
Be
yeah. It was not intended.
Oh, that's good.
Let me just pretend it never happened and quack me.
Quack.
Thanks. Proposal, you know, a lot of people say, well, listen, the property tax thing, just because Berrios is going to be gone, the big guys are still going to be able to weasel the system.
Mm-hmm.
A proposal sidelined by Alderman Ed Burke that aimed to increase property taxes on 7 downtown buildings, including 2 that his law firm represents, is going to get a hearing after all.
Oh, good, as it should.
Yeah, yeah, because everybody needs to pay what they owe. Quack.
100.
Yeah.
Is that the new separator now? Okay.
That's great.
The 2020 census is changing it up a little bit. They're going to add a question on citizenship status. This is controversial because of the obvious reasons. Listen, this is another one of these things that people are freaking out about. I think in the majority of cases, if you are not of legal status in this country and the government knocks on your door, your concern is not going to be answering the questionnaire.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't quite get the concern. Next.
100.
President Trump joined a coordinated effort by at least 23 countries on Monday to retaliate for the poisoning of a Russian former spy in Britain. 60 Russian officials and their families have been given 7 days to get out. And the Russian consulate in Seattle is going to be closed. Those people in the Russian consulate will either be moved to other consulates or sent packing as well. They're not being called diplomats at this point. They're being called spies. And even though the president has said nothing about this, the decision ultimately lies with him to agree or disagree or abstain. And regardless of the fact that he may have abstained, the fact is it happened on his watch. So therefore, he gets credit for it and credit where credit's due. So nice move, President Trump. Well, it's true. On the other hand, quack me.
100.
The president is still having trouble finding attorneys. Mm-hmm. Former U.S. Attorney Dan Webb mm-hmm. been on his show.
Yeah, and remember, he oversaw Operation Greylord, obviously one of the city's most distinguished trial lawyers now in private practice. Represented George Ryan, too, during his trial, Steve.
Well, and he's a partner in the firm. You want a piece of this?
Yeah, Winston
and Strawn. I don't know if you know that. You want a piece of this LLC?
Winston and Strawn.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Dan Webb was offered the chance to represent the president. He said no thanks.
Mm-hmm. Also, his one of his partners, Tom Buchanan, who's also head of the firm's litigation department, was asked as well, and he said no.
Yeah, he's the guy in D.C.?
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, Nevis Coleman, age 49, worked for the White Sox ground crew in 1994. He was arrested and imprisoned for the rape and murder of a woman in Inglewood. Mm-hmm. There was no evidence to back it up. He did 23 years behind bars. He didn't commit the crime.
Right.
Recently exonerated, freed, charges were dropped. His friends and family reached out to the White Sox. The team offered him a job interview, rehired yesterday.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
It's a good move.
Yeah, it is.
It is a good move.
It's a very good move.
Yeah, it is.
And there's no way you can replace those lost years for Mr. Coleman, but he now has a heck of a summer in front of him and another reason to live his life and just be happy.
Absolutely.
Be happy. There's a terrible story, by the way, about an exonerated individual. It wasn't in Illinois, but who got $75. $75. I'll dig the story up, but got $75 when he was released from prison after about 30 years
mm-hmm.
for a crime he didn't commit. Just wanted a judgment. It took years and years and years, but just won $1 million. By the way, $1 million doesn't cover the time either. But yeah, since you have to restart your life, it helps.
That's why. I mean, we talk about this all the time.
Ridiculous.
We talk about lawsuits. This is how it all started, that a lot of people getting out of prison who were exonerated for crimes that they didn't commit and released come out with no money. So then they sue, and then they win these large settlements.
But it takes forever.
Absolutely.
It takes forever, and that's why people like Laura Caldwell are so important. Laura Caldwell has spent a good portion of her career working on exonerees and how to get them set up, because you leave prison, they'll give you a pair of sweats,
right.
Maybe a jacket, and whatever you came in with, that you, they still have right. locked up somewhere. It's just, it's unimaginable. Can you imagine sitting behind bars for 20, how did, with Nevis? 23 years? 23 years, knowing you didn't commit the crime, and every single day you're locked up. It's unbelievable. Coming up on 6:30, let's do this. Back with your headlines right after this. And then a kid of the week coming up on 720 WGN.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Forgot to mention this yesterday. Bob Stroud has been on the radio in Chicago for 40 years. Well, not just Chicago. He's in Philadelphia as well. And Bob and I used to be pals and used to hang out. We've lost touch. How could you possibly stay in touch? He's on the other side of town. But, you know, things happen. You work at different places. But I've always been a Stroud fan. And he is the absolute definition of an encyclopedic knowledge of records and music like you wouldn't believe. And some great stories. But anyway, Stroud's still getting it done. 40 years. Or as Dick Biondi would call it, a good start. All right, 6:44.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Love this letter. Dear Steve, I'd like to nominate my granddaughter, Mia Fernandez. She's going to turn 15 in May. She's a freshman at Naperville North. Mia is a member of the after-school club in Naperville, works with special needs students. It's a soft spot for me, as you know. And recently performed a dance routine with a friend and a special needs student, a variety show for special needs kids. The club provides students to act as friends to the special needs population. It's a big deal. You know, my daughter Amy, who works with kids with autism all the time, is, you know, so in my brother, my special needs brother, Mickey, who's coming to visit, by the way. Mickey's going to be out in a couple weeks. You know, it's just it's just something that it just touches your heart. If you're you know, smart enough to stop down and pay attention to it. And I love hearing about a kid that gets it, is in touch with it at 14 or 15 years old. Ms. Fernandez continues, my husband and I had a mentally challenged daughter who passed away in 1992, so Mia never knew her Aunt Michelle, but we have talked about her, and Mia's parents have taught their children about helping those less fortunate. And I believe that my daughter, Amy, got into the business she's in no small part because of her uncle, my brother, Mickey. So inspiration comes. I believe Mia would make a great kid of the week, from Mrs. Catherine Fernandez. And we agree as Mia joins us now. Good morning, Mia.
Hi.
Remember when spring break meant sleeping late?
Yeah.
Well, it's nice of you to get up. How are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing fine. And there at Naperville North, are you an exception to the rule, or are the kids pretty good with the special needs population?
They're pretty good.
Yeah. And are there any kids in particular you want to call out to say these are the folks that we're helping, or these are the folks that are getting it done?
Sure. Like my dance partners in the thing, Myla and David.
What did you dance to?
Can't Stop the Feeling.
Oh, yeah. Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want me to recreate that video right now while we're on the phone? Probably not.
No.
Yeah, probably not.
Thanks,
probably not.
Thanks, Mia.
Say hi to Mia, Andrew.
Mia, how are you?
Good.
Hey, what do you think of everything going on now? Really, teenagers, this is your time right now with kids speaking out and talking, and you really are getting behind the pulpit. Are you happy with the way your peers all across the country are handling themselves and speaking out for the rights of teenagers?
Yeah. Like, we're trying to stick up for ourselves, and yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough when you ought to be worried about just having fun and working hard and thinking about your future and stuff. It's tough when you have to be the grown-ups, but certainly the kids in Florida and the kids around the country have stepped up, as you're doing as well. Yeah. What advice do you have for kids who are a little shy about getting involved? What would you say to them?
I'd say try to, like, make new friends and then try to get them involved. Like, I got involved by the CEC club through one of my friends that was doing it, and you just try to make new friends in the certain clubs and that.
Who was your other friend that got you involved?
Myla,
getting it done.
Cool.
What are you going to do after high school? You got college plans eventually?
I want to be a nutritionist.
Oh, nice. Where's that inspiration come from?
I don't really know.
Do you eat well yourself?
My parents say I do.
Well, that's nice. Like, what would typical breakfast be for you since you're awake?
Like yogurt.
Wow.
It's healthy, yeah.
Look at you.
Very healthy.
You're a vegetarian?
No.
Good call. is your grandmother with you?
Yeah.
Can I say hi to her?
Yeah.
All right, before you hand her the phone, I wanted to tell you, as Kid of the Week, we're going to give you an apt gift card. We're going to give you some Lou Malnati's pizza, so you're going to have to break that nutritional thing that you do. Huh? Yeah. Right? Huh? Yeah. And we just thank you for being a great kid and Kid of the Week.
Thank you.
All right, let us talk to Ms. Catherine, please.
She's great.
Hello.
What a sweet kid.
Listen, Steve, can I offer you some advice?
Sure, go ahead.
Treasure every moment you have with Abigail Grace.
You know, it's funny.
Because you're going to turn around tomorrow, and she's suddenly going to be 15 years old, and you're going to wonder, where did it go?
How about that?
Yeah.
You know, I spend every Monday afternoon with her, just her and I, and obviously see her any chance I can. But yesterday,
we all know that's to corrupt her, so go ahead.
Yes, that's exactly
right.
That's
right, Catherine.
But yesterday, we spent a fair amount of time where she was educating me on various things in the world. But we also spent some time pointing out my elbows. And she also referenced the fact that I have no hair. I've sort of taken this a little too far. I convinced her that the reason I have no hair is because her daddy, my son, took it. So now she'll rub the top of my head and go, "Pops, no hair. No hair, Pops. Aww. Daddy took it."
Yeah, she knows.
Well, that's all right. My son is only 50, and he has no hair.
Ah, there you go. I think I saw him at the meeting. well, you must be a wonderful grandmother as well, because she's a phenomenal kid, and I'm sure she's been paying attention to you. But I thank you for letting us know about her.
Well, I have three of them, actually. Mia is the oldest, and then I have two grandsons, Luke, who's going to, well, he is 13 already, and Will will be 11 after Easter. So, yeah, I'm very proud of them. My son and daughter-in-law are both teachers, and they've done a wonderful job.
Good for them. Where do they teach?
Mike teaches at St. Joe's in Westchester, and Kristen teaches Freedom at Freedom Middle School in Berwyn. She teaches science, he teaches math.
Boy, middle school.
Math I've got, the science I don't have a clue.
The middle school, that's brave.
Well, 7th and 8th grade, and that's, I taught math, and he's following in my footsteps, which I'm very proud of.
Well, you should. Where did you teach?
I taught at St. Barbara's in Brookfield, and believe it or not, I don't want to hold you up because I know Mary is trying to get you to get
Sandberg off
the phone.
To keep me on time. Yeah.
I was on a team that when Bob Collins had his high school, not high school, grade school, the pop quiz or whatever
pop
for
quiz.
Teachers?
Yeah, pop quiz. Is that right, Dave?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I was on the St. Barbara's team, and we got to come down and compete.
Oh, look at that.
And so we got to meet Bob, and of course it was tragic, but we did get to meet him, and Bill,
somebody else working on the show at the time?
No. The guy that, he does promos for the station, too, Bill.
Curtis.
You know,
Bill Curtis.
Bill Curtis.
Sure.
Was one of our questioners.
Is that right?
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I trust that Mr. Collins was a very nice man to you.
Oh, he's terrific. He was terrific.
Yeah, he was.
We have a picture. In fact, our principal hung it in the hall, and the kids got to sit, the three of us were on the team with Bob.
But you're burying the lead. Did you win?
No.
Oh.
We were a finalist.
Oh.
We came back twice.
Oh.
And we were a finalist, so believe it or not, we won an exercise bike and ice cream treats for the whole school. And we had our school did a fundraiser, and we had the bicycle. I won it.
Well, that's great, but you're kind of making my Lou Malnati's pizza and an app gift card look bad. anyway, it's great talking to you. I really appreciate you listening all this time, and I appreciate you sticking around for this show. But thanks for getting that kid up.
No, you're terrific, and my heart goes to Mary, because I don't think you ever meet the beep on the
app. Oh, wow.
All right, our time's up.
This is where you normally offer a tour of the station. Oh, not today.
Well, how great is Catherine?
Yeah, she's great.
She's fantastic.
And how great is Mia?
Mia's a great kid. There you go. And I'm sure Mia's smiling as she goes, okay, can I go back to bed now?
Right. It's spring break. Oh,
come on. Give me a break. There you go. That's a good kid of the week.
Excellent. She's great.
Let us know about kids you know about that you want us to know about. It's simple. Go to WGNradio.com, search Kid of the Week, and follow the easy steps there. And we appreciate it.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You should see my house or what's left of it. The great Bill Conforti and the Cobblestone Development people are redoing the kitchen and the family room. And the floor went in yesterday. There's plastic hanging everywhere. Oh. And, you know, a lot of dust, mm-hmm. mostly on me. And you walk into the house, and it takes you a minute, but I actually found those guys that were looking for E.T.
Oh,
at the end of the movie. That's how much plastic was hanging in the house.
Are you cooking on, like, hot plates and things like that?
Yeah, just open fire.
Okay.
Just right out on the lawn. Yeah. So, but Bill Conforti and those Cobblestone guys, hi to you. Please take nice, good care of the place and make it a house again soon. So, but it's good when you have people in your house who know what they're doing. Because if my father were alive and he saw me holding a hammer, he'd go, give it to somebody that knows what they're doing.
Yes. Yes.
You lost?
Sister Jean, brushes with Sister Jean from the 847. My brother knew a waitress that knew a guy whose aunt once bumped into a Loyola student who saw Sister Jean across the street. I mean, that's almost like playing on the team. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like
being that nice. Kind of a connection. Mm-hmm. And, John, you had a brush with Sister Jean.
I did. I was at the Wilmette Theater. I went to see a movie. She was getting popcorn in front of me and milk duds, but there was the last box of milk duds, and I got very upset.
Did you say anything, or because it was Sister Jean, you let her have the
No, because it was Sister Jean, I said, you know what, Jean, you're young and alive.
don't think you said that. It's coming up on 7 News next, 720 WGN. Right now, we'd like to play for you. The Blackhawks Express, sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Make it quick.
They win the hockey game 4-3.
That's the Sharks. Beat the Blackhawks. News next.
I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show. Cochran Show.
920 texter, Sister Jean was my advisor when I was at Mundelein. Suggested an accounting course, and today I'm a CPA.
Oh.
That's a good story.
That
good advice.
Nice.
Wow.
Brushes with Sister Jean.
So she drives a bus?
CPA.
CPA, not CTA.
Okay, got it.
Did you hit your head again? Andrea is going to give us the United States citizenship quiz here, and the seventh floor will compete as well. And when I say compete, just take a piece of paper. There are 10 questions here. You can try to compete in the car as well. And when I say compete, I mean try.
Right.
You have to get 6 cheat. Of 10 correct?
6 of 10 correct, yeah.
All right, and the 6 of 10 means we get to stay in the country. Anything less than 6 correct means we have to leave.
You're deported.
What is this? Is it a special day or something?
Well, we were talking earlier about the census and there's citizenship questions as to whether or not you're being included in the census or not.
And these are some of the questions on the new test as well. So to pass, applicants have to correctly answer 6 out of 10 questions. It's chosen at random.
From a wheel of how many?
From a pool of 100.
And these questions might not be the questions then, right?
Yeah, well, they could be on any test.
They could be on any test.
Yeah,
you don't
any
know.
Test.
Random.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to use your phone on the test?
No.
Okay.
Okay, so this all has to be from memory and honor system, we know.
All right, question number one.
All right, question number one. Name one thing that Benjamin Franklin is famous for. One thing.
Got that insurance company.
That
next.
Benjamin Franklin is famous for. All right, number two. What is the rule of law? What is the rule of law? This could just be a little quickie answer. It doesn't have to be a huge long sentence. What is the rule of law? Question number three. The Federalist Papers supported the passage of the U.S. Constitution. Name one of the writers.
Of the Federalist Papers?
The Federalist Papers supported the passage of the U.S. Constitution. Name one of the writers.
Okay.
Do you want a hint or no?
No.
Okay. Let's see. Question. Under our Constitution, some powers, just some powers, belong to the states. What is one power of the states? One power of the states. Okay. Easy, right?
I'm not a citizen.
can tell you that.
I think you know, but once you hear the answer, you'll go, oh, yeah.
Mary, can you drop me off in Canada on your way out?
Don't cheat off Mary Sandberg.
I'll be going with you.
Paper? Okay, the idea of self-government is the first three words of the Constitution. What are these words? What are the first three words of the Constitution?
Oh, got it. Okay.
First three words.
Yep.
Okay. This is a tricky one.
This is all the honor system when we correct these ourselves, by the way.
Yeah, don't look online.
Number six.
Who was president during World War One?
Okay.
Who is president during World War One?
It's easy. It was Hamilton.
Yeah. No, okay.
Oh, it wasn't Hamilton.
Okay. Get your papers ready. Okay. When was the Constitution written? What year was the Constitution written?
1984.
Mm-hmm. How many amendments does the Constitution have? How many amendments are there?
Okay.
God dang.
Name.
Number nine.
Name two cabinet-level positions. Just two. Two cabinet-level positions.
Secretary of the boss.
And the last question, who is the Chief Justice of the United States right now?
Okay.
Chief Justice of the United States right now.
All right. Answer to question number one. Question and answer.
All right. Question was, what is one thing Benjamin Franklin is famous for?
All right.
All right. If anybody put, he's a U.S. diplomat, oldest member of the Constitutional Convention, the first postmaster general of the United States, writer of Poor Richard's Almanac. He started the first free libraries. Some say he was one of the inventors of electricity.
That's, is he involved in a cherry tree?
No, that's another guy.
I had stove.
That's the untold story.
I had stove.
Why no kite flying? Seems like kite flying.
Didn't he do something with glasses, too?
He started the first four eyes.
Yes, he did. I'm going to say I'm right because I put
that's
stove.
That's true, Dave. He started the first four eyes. That's accurate.
It was the lens crafter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's on money.
Yeah.
There you go. On money. That'll count.
He's on money.
He's on money.
That works.
All right, you got to score these yourself. Now, be fair. Number two.
All right, number two. What's the rule of law? Everybody has to follow the law, basically.
Yes!
Leaders have to obey the law. The government has to obey the law. Nobody is above the law.
Got it.
All right. Question three. The Federalist Papers supported the passage of the U.S. Constitution. Just name one writer.
Okay. You want to throw a couple out?
Sure. James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, Publius.
Publius, he was a rapper.
I know. He was
Thomas Jefferson happened to be on that list.
Terrible.
He's not.
He signed
it. How about Thomas Paine?
Thomas Paine is not on.
How about Alexander Paine? He's a director.
How about Window Paine?
Window Paine is actually on there.
How about Paine in the you-know-what?
Number four.
What this is. Okay, number four was under the Constitution, some powers belong to the states. Name one power of a state.
I'm going
to
throw a couple out.
Providing school and education, police protection, safety, fire departments, get a driver's license, and approving zoning and land use. Like a land question.
Taxation zoning. Is not on there?
I've got tax.
Taxes, yes.
It's on my list, Dave.
Property taxes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The ability to scam citizens through overabundant property taxes.
I'm four away from...
to gouge our eyes out.
I'm four away from being a citizen.
All right, first three words of the Constitution.
We the people.
You got that. Who was president during World War One?
Wilson.
Thomas Jefferson?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson.
Dang right it was.
What?
Yeah. And by the way, he loved being called the Woodman.
He did.
Yes. I don't know if you know that or not.
Woody. Yeah. They called him Woody.
Woodrow Wilson.
Number seven.
All right, what year was the Constitution written?
1887.
No.
So close. You're just off 100 years.
1776?
1787.
Oh, that's what I meant.
You know what? If you're within 5 years, give it to yourself.
I don't think they do that when they're giving out citizenship, but anyway.
Okay, how many amendments does the Constitution have?
27.
Yep.
Shut up.
Right there.
Is it?
I got 26.
Yep.
Darn it. Dang it.
No, that's teeth.
Is there an over-under?
Not with that one, no.
I blew that one.
Name two cabinet-level positions. You guys can all do this.
Defense, housing, agriculture.
I put interior and exterior.
Oh, I got high and low.
There's no secretary of the exterior.
Well, it should be.
That's awesome. And right. Final question. Who is the Chief Justice of the United States right now?
John Roberts. I got 8 out of 10.
All right, you're passed.
I'm in. Anybody else?
Three out of 10.
9 out of 10.
9 out of 10? Okay, show off.
I got 5 out of 10. I still have to leave.
So you're out?
I got to go.
Sandberg, you're out?
I'm out.
I'm gone.
Wait, how many do
you need? How many
did
you get if?
You need 6.
5, Dave's out.
I got 6.
Oh, and it's Sandberg and DeCoste.
Yeah, we're gone.
Vanderbilt just made it.
Mary just made it.
How about you, Super Joe?
The guy I paid got 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Excellent. Excellent.
I missed the Constitution one. I said 1776. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, so did I. That's exactly what I said. And I did say Thomas Paine. Which is not accurate.
You were so close.
I forgot the Chief Justice. I feel bad.
That's okay. You feel bad. He feels bad. He's a regular listener.
You guys did okay. These are tough questions.
I wrote down Earl Warren, and that didn't work right.
Here's a thought. Maybe the three of you could get like a group fare, like a Groupon.
I wrote down Earl Holliman.
Earl Holliman's not right. That's the policewoman guy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's Pepper.
All right. So we're going to need a new sports director, an executive producer of the show, and whatever DeCoste does.
We did not have time to prep for this.
Yes, that's true. I would say your entire life you weren't prepped for this.
I have a question. Is government still part of a requirement to graduate from high school?
Not on the quiz. All right, time now for you to tell me what's coming up at 7:30.
All right, 7:30, Apple's in town. They're at a Northside High School, and we will tell you why and what their big announcement.
And the answer, Steve, of course, is civics is not a part of the curriculum anymore, and it's frustrating.
Yeah, it was one of the requirements when I was in high school to graduate.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. All right, that's coming up at 7:30.
And as far as traffic goes, we still have problems with Metra.
I didn't get Mary's score. Where'd you get Mary?
6. I just made it.
Ooh, just made it, yeah.
Close.
You guys did good.
I think can't even drive home with her now.
Why are you talking? You're not even a citizen.
Hawk a riddle, yeah, come on. And get your back hawk tickets, yeah. Hawk a riddle.
Coming up on 7:25, and John DeCoste is here. He's the writer of the riddles. First correct answer of a famous Chicagoan. Answer this, you'll get tickets to one of the final 2 Hawks home games of this season. And even though it's been a difficult year, there's still nothing quite as fun as hanging out at the Madhouse on Madison.
Last night was a fun game. Yeah. It just didn't go the last Hawks way at the end.
Yeah. Winnipeg will be in on Thursday night. You'll be there, and you'll qualify to win 4 season tickets. Amazing prize. Again, given this year by the great people at Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. See them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. Ready, Riddle Boy?
I am ready. All right. I am ready. This one means a lot to me because I knew him. So here we go. Here's my That's my clue.
All right.
This CVS grad with a career upswing turned Southside stand-up to an original king. His Angels and 11 brought laughter to its knees. Kraft was his name, minus Kraft without cheese.
This is very good. Very good. Now keep in mind, John knows him. Okay?
I will read it again. This CVS grad with a career upswing turned Southside stand-up to an original king. His Angels and 11 brought laughter to its knees. Kraft was his name, minus Kraft without cheese.
Oh, that is a good one.
First correct answer.
Huh.
312-981-7200. Do you know?
I think I do.
You really do?
Not really.
Okay.
I thought the cheese would give away, but... Okay.
Yeah. Dave, any idea?
Yeah, I can't think of the name, though. I think I know who it is, but I can't think of the name.
Maybe when you're living in another country, because you're no longer a citizen, you'll have time to think about it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Colleen joins us. Colleen, who is John speaking of?
Bernie Mac.
That's it.
That is it.
Very good.
Oh, I didn't
congratulations. You
I
got the tickets for the Winnipeg Jets, miserable cheaters, and your Chicago Blackhawks Thursday night. Who are you going to bring to the game?
Probably my son.
Good call. Good boy, is he?
Yes, he is.
How old is he?
He is 20.
What does he do?
He is a home inspector.
Nice. Well, he's got a job, getting it done, good kid, loves his mom, she's taking him to the game. I like this.
Good. Thank you so much.
All right, hold on.
Good.
Colleen's got stuff to do.
She's got stuff to do.
She's got stuff going on. So congratulations, Colleen. And by the way, a CVS grad meaning, like what, the pharmaceutical school? What is CVS?
Chicago Vocational.
Ah!
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was confused about.
Not the...
I thought you meant CVS. I was like,
yeah, they're like a Walgreens, CVS.
This is why they're called riddles.
Yeah.
What do you know? Again, you're not a cis?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, God.
You know, I never met Bernie. Good dude?
He was a wonderful guy. Yeah. He was absolutely a wonderful guy. Yeah, great
Remember
guy.
How shocking it was when Bernie Mac died?
Oh, my God.
And he had some sort of lifelong congenital respiratory thing, right?
Right. Right, and then it just caught up with him, and he was gone. Like Amazing. 52, I think he was 52.
And he had just really started to hit with the movie stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to take a break here in just a second. Nothing from the Trump Twitter feed this morning. By law, we have to follow it, but we'll keep an eye on it for you. The one thing that amused me, I guess that's the word I'd use for it yesterday, is when White House Deputy Press Secretary Raj Shah stepped to the podium and said, "The president doesn't believe the Stormy Daniels accusations were accurate or credible." You were there. What do you mean you don't believe they're accurate or credible? You either know or you don't. Right. Either she's lying or she isn't. Accurate or credible? That doesn't sound like me. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to get back to you, but that does not sound like something I do. I am rarely spanked by a magazine that I'm on the cover of. What a wacky world we live in. 729, headlines next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Did you hear about the
midnight rainbow? So many good stories with the Loyola run to the Final Four. Of course, Sister Jean, front and center. And we're taking your text question of the day, brushes with Sister Jean. And if you haven't had one, make it up. Brushes with Sister Jean at 312-981-7200. But could you imagine if a couple of the key members of this Loyola squad, this team, have known each other since they were just little tykes, played together in elementary school? Wouldn't that be a cool story?
Yeah.
Turns out it's true, Dave.
Third grade.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Clayton Custer could dunk in third grade. What do you think? Do we have any video of that?
I haven't seen any.
Okay, but it's possible. How about their coach? Their college coach, or I should say their high school coach, Ed Fritz, who joins us now. Legendary basketball coach in his own right. Good morning, coach.
Hey, good morning. Hey, thanks for having me.
How proud are you of those guys?
I am really proud and really happy. And by the way, Clayton could not dunk in third grade, but he could hit threes like he was breathing.
Ed Fritz been at Blue Valley Northwest High for, what is it, almost 20 years?
I just finished my 16th year here at Northwest.
Well, let's round up. And tell me about these kids as high schoolers. How good were they?
Well, you know, I just got so lucky. I have a son the same age as Ben and Clay. So we, Ben's dad, Dave, and I started a team in third grade. And I not only got to coach them all the way through elementary school and middle school, and then they were at Northwest, and I got to coach them in high school. So they were just great kids to be around, and we had so much fun.
Now, they won two championships for you, did they not?
Yes, they went to they played in four straight championships. We took second their freshman and sophomore years, and then we were able to win it their junior and senior year.
So the Tennessee game, Custer gets the winning shot on a shot that will forever be known as the bounce. Where were you when that shot went in?
You know, I was had a great seat right down towards the front, and it was just really kind of great because he came off the court and I was there and got to hug him. And
that's great.
And the cameras were on us the whole time, and so that kind of they kind of Ben and Clay have kind of got a kick out of making me talk to people and interview with people because they're not the greatest at talking, but we kind of shared a good laugh about it. But it was just such a good moment, and to be able to share it with them was really special.
Now, I don't want to put you on the spot here, Coach, but is it true that you went to Dallas expecting to be there for just one game?
Didn't bring enough clothes.
Yeah, I didn't bring clothes, and I just wanted to be part of it, and I was going to head back after the game. And you know, both of them just said, "Hey, you got to stay, Coach," and so I stayed and went and got some clothes and was able to be to the next game and see that winning shot.
So you had to go clothes shopping so you could stay in town.
Yes, I did. I was happy to do it.
The great thing is when you're a coach is you can go to the Steve Cochran clothing line. You know, sweats, shorts, you know, a golf shirt, whatever. You know, you can go casual.
I'm a gym teacher, so that's my attire anyway. So that's
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, totally. I get it. So let's talk for a second about what's going to happen this weekend. These kids seem so level-headed, and they seem so ready for their big moment. Yeah, are they feeling extra pressure, or are they just so happy they're there? They're just going to continue to cruise.
You know, I think they're just enjoying it. I think they're just having fun. Watching Ben get interviewed after the game and see how composed he was and how he was able to, you know, talk about how, you know, he's part of something special about the academics at Loyola. They're just really well-rounded kids, and I think they're going to be fine. I think they know that, you know, growing up, these two kids never passed the eye test. People would look at them and say, oh, these guys are nothing, and then they just would prove them wrong if the game started. And I think they got a little chip on their shoulder about that, and so they'll be ready to go Saturday.
Clayton Custer, Steve, went to Iowa State and played 1 year there for Fred Hoiberg, now the coach of the Bulls, and Ben Richardson came here to Loyola. Were you surprised, Coach, that they both ended up together in college once Clayton decided to move on?
You know, I'm really not. Once Clayton decided that he was going to transfer, I know Ben was his first call, and Ben kind of told him, "Hey, we got a really good situation here. We got a great coach, and we're gonna get better and better." And I think his first visit was to Loyola, and he just loved it. He loves the city of Chicago, and I think that sold it for him. And it's sure proven to be a good fit for him and Loyola and Chicago.
In 16 years, I'm sure you've had players achieve success at different levels of the game. Have you? And I think you had a player at Kansas State also on Saturday playing against these guys. But have you had players in the Final Four before?
I have not. I had one in the Sweet 16 a few years ago, but have not had anybody in the Final Four. And we've been lucky enough to be pretty good the last couple of years to win a state championship, and we got some kids going to Division One, but nothing like the success Ben and Clay has had.
Now you
got to
be on cloud nine, man.
That's great.
It's a great feeling, and it's just fun. And you know, Ben and Clay come from great families, and they're just so excited, you know, sharing another moment with them, and can't wait for it to continue.
It's a good inspiration for kids listening who are getting into Loyola and getting into college basketball. A lot of folks only pay close attention during March Madness. But, Coach, every time I've seen Coach Ed Fritz again, every time I've seen you referenced about these guys, you keep saying they put the work in. So were these guys natural athletes, gifted athletes, or did they have to go the extra mile to get there?
Well, they've both gone the extra mile. To be honest, Clay, when Clay was born, he was a good player. I saw him win a national three-point contest in third grade. He was just, you know, was unbelievably fast with the basketball and could shoot it. Ben was all arms and legs in third and fourth grade, and he just started developing and growing and growing. But the thing that, you know, they just put in the time, you know, at high school, I'd come in the morning and these guys would already be in here shooting for an hour or two, and they always would stay late and work. And I think the work ethic is what set them up. And after that game against Tennessee, you know, I had a lot of people ask me, you know, you ever seen Clayton do that before? And they asked Ben the same thing. And we both said, yeah, we've seen him do it a lot of times. So, you know, it's special, but, you know, they prepared for the moment, and being prepared really helps you.
They got any younger siblings coming up?
I wish. They're the last ones in their family, and I don't think I'm going to have. In high school, we went 94-6 for 4 years. Wow. With those guys.
How about that? 94-6.
Yeah, it's just a great run, and I'll never experience that again. Even though we won the last two state championships, but it hasn't been like that because this has been really special.
All right, here's the big question, Coach. Did you get to meet Sister Jean?
I have got to meet Sister Jean, and I talked to her, had a great talk. In fact, I put something out on Twitter that Sister Jean and I are going to start a talk show, and instead of talking, I'll meet people. she is just great. She's so sharp and she's so
she's unbelievable.
I got to meet her this last summer too when I took my team to a camp in Chicago, and what a thrill! The kids on the team just love her so much, and she's such a good inspiration. And what a great story!
You know about the trash talking going on with Jalen Rose's grandmother and her?
I do not know that.
Oh, you got to hear this, Coach. Stand by, Super Joe. Play for the coach. What Jalen Rose's grandmother said about the Michigan Loyola game this weekend. Stand by, Coach, and check this out.
Gene, it's been a good ride, but it's over Saturday. Go Blue, 100.
So, Coach, just to review, that's a 100-year-old trash talking a 98-year-old.
Well, I'm still got my money on Sister Jean.
Yeah, I agree. And here's the thing, and Dave and I talked about this. The last thing you want at the senior home is bulletin board material in the cafeteria.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
You're exactly right.
Coach, thanks for coming on. I know this is not your favorite part of your job, but it's great to be able to talk about these kids that have meant so much to you for so many years, and you're a heck of a spokesman for them. So I hope you're where are you going to be watching a game this weekend?
I'm going to leave Thursday and drive down there, and I'll be waiting for my hug after the game.
So. Yes, sir. Like that. All right, Coach. I hope it goes as well as we think it's going to. Stand by. There you go, Coach Ed Fritz. And again, that high school is.
That high school is Blue Valley Northwest, Overland Park, Kansas. You can follow him at Coach Ed Fritz on Twitter.
Okay. Still taking your brushes with a Sister Jean. Text question of the day at 312-981-7200. You imagine that? He coached him from third grade. They end up in high school together. One of them goes away to a separate college. A year later, he comes back. They're back at Loyola, and now he gets to watch him try to win a national title.
How about 94-6?
That's not bad.
I'm just guessing that's a winning percentage of 940.
About 940. It's strong. Pretty strong.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Speaking of the Final Four, as we have and will, I have our NCAA tournament pool here. These are the picks we made prior to the start. We made them off the air because it was way too complex to do on the air, and I would just listen to Dave and Andrea fight with each other nonstop.
Not fighting.
Here we go, bottom to top. Mary Vandeveld, you're in last place with 28. Sandberg, second to last place with 30. Dave, fourth to last place, or fifth overall. Dave, you have 31. Six of your Sweet 16 were correct. Four of your Elite Eight. 0 of 4 in your Final Four.
Okay, why do you have to specify mine when you just kind of skimmed over?
I think we're
Mary.
All stunned at how poorly you've done this morning. First, you're no longer a citizen, and now this.
Those are unrelated.
Who's the sports director at WGN?
Well, we're looking for one.
Okay.
I have 32, which is awful. That's fourth. Super Joe, 33. That's good for third.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
I had 31, and you have 32, and Joe has 33.
Yeah, I do.
Joe, talk again.
Hey, yeah, buddy.
So make sure the microphone's working. My mom is second.
Yeah, Ann. God.
My mom is 35.
Aren't you happy for Ann?
I am. I love mom.
Yeah. She has the Villanova still in.
Yeah.
But she had Villanova losing to Virginia in the final. That's not going to happen this year.
Yeah.
Who have we not mentioned? Andre, you're number one.
I know. I can't
in a blowout.
I know.
38 correct.
Put so much thought into that. Joe said that morning, you better fill out your bracket.
38. You had 10 in the Sweet 16, 2 in the Elite 8, 1 in your Final 4. Your runner-up is Michigan State. Your champions, North Carolina, both are out. If Villanova wins, my mom's going to pass you.
Ann. I like Ann, though. It's okay.
Yeah.
She deserves it.
Now, Joe, I haven't done the math here. If Michigan wins, is there enough bonus points out there for you to catch Andrea?
I would think so, yep.
And are you doing the scoring?
Yep.
Okay, just checking.
Wait, yeah, I ran out. Am I still last?
Yeah, you're still last.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I have Villanova winning. Will that help me?
Not enough.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mary, it's like golf this year. The lower score is better.
By the way, Mary, you're last, but you're last with a good, strong margin.
Yeah.
You're a solid last.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know there's a guy at WGN-TV, an editor, Kevin Dolman, who has the four Final Four teams in his bracket on ESPN.
What?
Yeah. He's got all four, and he's got Loyola as the champ.
Right, and didn't he was one of those people like
he
me?
Said,
I admit,
did it, yeah,
he
the last,
it out
second,
last second,
filled
like,
it out in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So if Loyola wins, how much money is he going to win?
A lot.
I don't know. You should probably give him a call.
Oh, he should be in that Warren Buffett bracket.
It's a WGN TV bracket. I think it's all for fun.
Oh, no, it's illegal gambling. No,
it was ESPN.
It's sanctioned illegal gambling. Yeah, and if any of you have brackets at your place of business where you've totally been blowing off your job and you have some exceptional story to tell, certainly we're here. Brushes with Sister Jean, 815. I don't think they've licensed Sister Jean's likeness for your brushes, Steve. Oh, okay. All right. I'm not sure if there will be a licensing fee involved. 847. Hey, Steve Cochran. Sister Jean's my sister. No, she's not. 708. I go to church with a woman that was taught by Sister Jean. That's almost really close.
I have an Aunt Jean.
Didn't we have someone yesterday who was taught by Sister Jean?
That was the alleged story, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But I think they were telling the truth. Hey, before we press forward, Kim Jong-un is wrapping up his vacation in Beijing. It's a very weird story. The Un family, you know, Papa Un, mm-hmm. Mama Un, and then the baby Uns, they own their own train. Well, why wouldn't they? So this train, which is very distinct, ends up chugging into Beijing. And then there was a motorcade to a particular secure house where previously North Korean officials had stayed. Now, as legend has it, Kim Jong-un has never left North Korea out of fear of being assassinated, mostly. I don't know if he thought maybe he would end up sending assassins to kill him, because like he killed his half-brother. But there's very strong reasons to believe that Kim Jong-un has spent the last several days in Beijing and will head back today. Our time may already be on the family train back.
The family
back.
Train. This is like it's like an Amtrak, right?
So what? In my head, it's more like the Petticoat Junction train, which you won't remember. Yeah, come ride a little train that Kim Jong-un is on.
It does look more like a steam engine, by the way.
Does it really?
Picture of it. Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
So why is he in Beijing, or why was he in Beijing? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any answers yet. But is it a preparation sort of thing for the alleged summit with Donald Trump?
For the talks.
Hmm.
Maybe.
To be determined. Oh, and by the way, the question continues, where will they meet if they meet? I'm hearing the Dells.
The Dell?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. Yeah, that's the word. News next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood.
It's coming up on 8:15. John DeCoste joins us this morning. Dean Richards.
Oh, the recuperating John DeCoste.
Yeah, with his brand new knee, which he's showing off. You know what he is? He's a knee braggart. He's going, look at my fancy new knee.
You making people touch it?
I am.
Look how fancy and shiny. You know what? You can tell, too. I'm across the room, but it's got that new knee smell.
It does.
It does. Yeah.
So,
have you put, I haven't seen your Facebook page, but have you put pictures of the disgusting surgery on your Facebook page?
That would be good.
My number one thing that I hate more than people posting pictures of their feet.
Mm. Dean, do you know that I took so much flack from everybody because they didn't even know that I was having knee surgery because I didn't put it on Facebook.
Oh, good for you.
What, they want to have a party or something?
I have no idea. It's like everybody, why don't you tell us on Facebook? Because it's none of your business.
Right, it's my knee.
Yeah.
Or it was my knee.
The people just post the most, people just post everything. And a lot of times it's inappropriate stuff.
Isn't that the point of doing this show?
Yeah,
but, it's kind of the basis of everything.
We get paid. It's different. That's different.
Texters, the question, brushes with Sister Jean. The brushes with Sister Jean, Dean. 219. I watched Sister Jean on TV up close.
That's not exactly a brush. 773. A hungry coyote ate kittens owned by me and Sister Jean. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, that's just weird.
What? 630. Steve, I'm a product of Catholic schooling for 12 years. My third grade teacher's name was Sister Jean. Not the same one, but it's close.
That's good. It's a good one.
Steve, 815. I went to a Catholic grammar school and high school. Both had nuns. My best friend works at Loyola Academy, and I got a younger sister named Jean. Well, okay. Wow. Now you're talking.
Pretty good.
708. Sister Jean was in Mundelein when my daughter went there. Maybe I helped pay some of her salary.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
Isn't she paid by the Lord, though?
Yeah.
Doesn't she get her salary from above?
It's possible. I mentioned this on stage the other night. You know, they take the kids out for ice cream after a lot of games.
Yeah.
In this case, she was going to take them out for ice cream, but she said she'd talk to the boss about eternal salvation. So he's got that going for him. He's working on that.
It's a fringe benefit.
708. I went to my sister's. She was wearing jeans.
Mm-hmm. Oh. See, that's pretty good.
Brushes with Sister Jean.
Wow. Creative audience today.
Yeah, very close. Text
I just
question.
Want to tell you that whatever Steve and I are going to do here in the next few minutes will not be as funny as what you're texting.
No, it's true. I'm
telling you right now.
But you do have a new real estate listing.
I do.
We'll talk about that coming up. Olivia de Havilland is still alive?
101 years old.
That's How about amazing. That?
Wow, that's cool.
And she filed a lawsuit, and the judges didn't mind breaking a 101-year-old woman's heart.
Mm, nice. We'll talk about
that. Tossing your lawsuit out.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah, it's amazing because Atlanta could have burned to the ground 17, 18 more times course of her life.
That's right.
Dean, was her sister Joan Fontaine?
Yes.
Okay.
And allegedly they did not get along. That's part of what this lawsuit's about.
Crazy.
They might want to make up.
Somebody bit Beyonce on the face. Chance the Rapper's in the news. National Lampoon Vacation. Will there be a new one? Well, that's coming up. Sad details on Prince. I don't get much for Saturday that he's dead, but further details on that. Oh, and apparently information from the people at Marvel.
You mean Marvel?
Marvel.
I prefer Marvel, as you know, Dean.
You're so street.
Steve likes to talk fancy.
I like the Marvel comics best. All that coming up.
Calling his name, oh, Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
All right, back to Channel 9 now. So who bit Beyonce's face?
Well, that's what nobody knows, Steve. That's what the great mystery is.
What is the story here? What happened?
Well, last December, there was an after party. You know, all the celebrities have, you know, they do their shows, different events, and then you throw down at the after party. You do that after your shows, don't you?
I have after parties every morning after this show.
Yeah. Well, yeah. A very similar, you know, where you sit around and drink expensive liquor.
That's right.
And eat red M&Ms only.
Yep.
You know, that sort of thing.
I like to have the Courvoisier.
you went there with that, huh?
Jeez.
Okay.
I don't even know what it means.
He enjoys his Courvoisier when he checks out a Marvel comic.
That's exactly right. Now you're starting to read it.
Why don't we both get in trouble? I don't want to leave you hanging by yourself.
Right, I'll see you at the meeting.
See, what happened was, it's a bunch of celebrities at this party. Rihanna's there, mm-hmm. Queen Latifah's there, mm-hmm. Chrissy Teigen's there. Mm-hmm. Beyonce and Jay-Z are, you know, kind of hosting the party.
Somebody bit Beyonce.
And Tiffany Haddish, you know, the comedian, actress, is also there. She suddenly sees Beyonce burst out. She's hanging out with Jay-Z. She bursts away from the crowd and runs to the back of the room. Jay-Z runs to the back of the room. There's a, you know, like a buzz in the room. What's going on? And somebody told Tiffany Haddish that somebody bit, an actress bit Beyonce in the face. Tiffany Haddish didn't like this. She was going to go take care of business, as we say. She was going to go take care of this person for biting her girlfriend, Beyonce. Beyonce pulled her back and said, let it go. Just let it go. She's drunk. She's high on drugs.
Wasn't that just a party game?
Bite Beyonce?
Yeah, Bite Beyonce face.
Game?
The Mike Tyson
Pin the
home
tail
game.
Tail on the donkey and, yes.
Flip cup.
So this is last December?
This is last December, but this is just
recently. Well, how's her face?
Just recently revealed. In a GQ interview that Tiffany Haddish did. Beyonce's face is fine, but nobody is talking about who did the nibbling. They've got it narrowed down, they think, to two people.
California Senator Dianne Feinstein has to be one of them.
One is actress Sanaa Lathan, who tweeted out that she absolutely is denying that she bit Beyonce in any way. Anyway,
such a stupid discussion.
Words that I never thought would be coming out of my mouth.
Well, who's the other one?
The other one is actress Sarah Foster. She's been on a bunch of television shows, and she says that she's flattered that anyone thinks that she can get that close to Beyonce.
I don't know either one of these women, and Jay-Z and Beyonce could have them killed.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
You, if you saw these two actresses, you would instantly recognize them. Chrissy Teigen has tweeted that she knows who did the biting, but she will never say. She will never say out loud. Mm. Because Bey, Queen Bee,
yeah.
has
Come get it, Bey.
Asked everybody to
Come
just
get it, Bey.
Let it go.
Come just, get it, Bey.
But
somebody bit my face.
Steve, I don't know if you
somebody
remember.
Somebody bit
this.
My face.
A couple of, many years ago,
yeah.
exact same thing happened to Pam Zekman. Do you remember that?
Pam Zekman?
No.
I did not know that.
Remember that?
Was that when Marianne Ahern bit her?
We still don't know.
And
we,
this is how rumors start.
We still do not know. Might have been Lester Holt when he was at Channel
That's
2.
Why he had to leave town.
We're not. We honestly don't know.
Well, how weird is that? Lester Holt bites Pam Zekman, ends up having to leave town, and becomes the anchor of NBC. Nightly news. It all worked out in the end.
I'm not saying that that's true because honestly, we 100% don't know.
And here's the weird part: Brian Williams claimed he was there and he wasn't.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
Now I was going to invest in Bitcoin, but I invested in Bitface.
Oh, Bitface! You may make some money on that.
See,
is that the new thing?
Yep. Come by my face. Come by my face.
It's one of my favorite songs.
I'm so thirsty for Cavassier right now.
Biting is the king.
You know, this Prince story just makes me sad. Ugh. It's just sad. I've told this story before, but in the early 90s, when I was working in Minneapolis, I knew Prince a little bit, this much. But I knew him a little bit. But I also knew the rules that he had around Paisley Park and the reputation that he had. And if anybody that worked for him even had a whiff of a drug problem, they were done. He was just religious about not being involved with drugs. And now he has the overdose and he dies, but now we know he died of what?
We know that a new toxicology report came out last night saying that it was an accidental overdose of fentanyl. An exceedingly high concentration is what the report said.
Awful.
Medical experts on this say that everyone's tolerance for fentanyl is different, so there's no actual... you know, lethal level for it, but they say generally concentrations of 69 micrograms per kilogram are fatal. Prince's was not 69, it was 450.
It's just tragic. I mean, when you think about the old, 20 or 30 years of Prince music we got cheated out of?
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, all that jumping off of speakers and high heels... and all the shin splints, and I understand he did about half a tour with a stress fracture in his right ankle.
Right.
So you get started on opioids to handle the pain, and then you're on fentanyl and you die.
Yep. Ugh, horrible waste.
What's the Chance the Rapper story?
Chance the Rapper is calling out the Heineken Company. They have a new TV commercial that you may have seen in which it's for Heineken Light. And the tagline on this commercial is, sometimes lighter is better. And what it shows is a bartender sliding a bottle down the bar past several people of color to a woman who is noticeably lighter in complexion.
Wow. Wait, is it a white girl at the end?
It could be a white woman at the end. It might be somebody Hispanic.
Sometimes lighter is better past the black people and the white girl drinks.
It's not the several black people that the bottle gets slid past.
Bizarre.
So Chance says that, you know, this is subtle racism, And he thinks it's an intentional ploy that some products use to get attention, to get people to overreact and say their name 50 times, like we've just done, like he just did. He acknowledges that he's giving them what they want, but he wants to call it out.
Heineken is Heineken. They don't need to be. Well, who knows? He might be right.
Who knows?
Olivia de Havilland.
So she is...
she bite Beyonce?
She didn't mean to. Her teeth came out.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You drop your
teeth. She wasn't even at the party when it happened.
You intend to give somebody a nice kiss on the cheek and your false teeth come out.
Oh, that's nice. 619 texter just said it was Olivia de Havilland. Thank you, listeners.
Well, tracking on the comedy train.
Yeah.
So Olivia de Havilland was one of the actresses portrayed in the FX miniseries Feud that was mostly about Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, but also featured the other prominent names in Hollywood at the time. The real Olivia de Havilland, 101 years old, sued FX for defamation of character, saying that they portrayed her in a damaging light because of, as John points out, in the miniseries, they pointed out that there was no love lost between the sisters, which apparently was true. But in the series, Olivia de Havilland called Sister Joan Fontaine a bitch. And there were several things that Olivia de Havilland, real Olivia de Havilland, said she never did, never would have done, ever. And this is damaging her persona. And
why did they toss it out? Just because there was no proof?
They say that productions are protected by the First Amendment and that a person does not have the right to sue over a fictionalization of real events and real people.
It's an arguable point. We've certainly seen it happen before. Dean has a Marvel story and a National Lampoon story on TV, but we have to get to your celebrity real estate listing because we hear it's a honey of a deal.
Steve, they're always honeys of a deal, and it's not often that we can go back into classic comedy and, you know, classic performers. Steve, what I have for you today, my honey of a deal, Dean Richards Real Estate, is...
And your blazer looks great today.
I just got it back from the cleaners. You can't kill this polyester. You can do anything to it.
I understand.
It doesn't hurt. Today, Steve, I have the Horst Ranch, once owned by Red Skelton.
Wait. Is that where Clem Cadiddlehopper lived, too?
This is where Clem Cadiddlehopper and Gertrude and Heathcliff... And later on after the show, for anybody who's under 80 years old, we'll explain what all of this means.
That's Ranch God Bless.
Boy, you got to be 60 or older to get that joke, but trust me, it was
60.
Funny.
So, Steve, this is a $600 horse ranch
okay. In
the Anza Valley of Riverside,
600
California.
600 acre?
600 acre, yes.
Yeah.
600 acre horse ranch. It's got several cabins on it. It's got a main bunkhouse, three studio bunkhouse. But to me, the prime attraction of this house, of the ranch, is that it was laid out as a breeding operation.
A breeding?
For horses, I hope.
Oh. For horses. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for horses.
I'm hoping it was for horses.
Me too.
So, you know, this is some fertile property, is all I can say.
How big is the ranch?
Well, the ranch itself is 600 acres, but the living space, 10,000 square feet.
Wow, that's a lot.
You got a breeding operation for horses. You need some space.
Here's the problem. I have never had less cash on me. I got $7.
Oh, I got cash today.
What do you got?
You know what? I got 40.
47.
And I will throw in another 20.
67. Dave.
Yeah.
I have 20, 25, 35, $37.
Wait, meanwhile.
John, you must
John
have
I am loaded.
John Trump DeCoste. What do you got? Like $200 here?
I 270.
Wow. We got $337 in cash we're willing to offer you right now.
We could breed the racehorses with that on that farm.
I have 10 singles.
Asking the axing price for this property, Steve, $5.9 million.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's fine. If you want to wait on a mortgage, great. But we got $337 plus whatever Mary's looking for.
I'm going to put the bid in today because Red Skelton's been dead for 20 years. You know, he needs to move this property.
There's no question about it. All right,
and
thanks,
not
man.
Wasting any time.
And the future goes to Mel Gibson. Sorry we didn't get to your call. Give future goes to Mel Gibson something out of Dean's wallet. Thank you, Dean. We're back with headlines next on 720 WGN.
WGN News. is on the air.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
You are listening to station WGN.
In 2018, the radio industry across America struggles to reconnect with the one quality that has always set it apart from other media, old and new. That quality is local. And it's something Chicago's very own has never drifted away from.
From Chicago, where the WGN Barn Dance is on the air.
While others try to relearn how to communicate locally, we can proudly say we never forgot. And the reason for that can be found in the names on the WGN Radio Walk of Fame.
Friends, welcome. We'd like you to meet Bob Collins.
From Wally and Bob, to Orion, to Judy, to Milton Roy.
Good evening, this is Milton Rosenberg.
And a host of behind-the-scenes broadcast professionals. Our people are what has kept the Chicago conversation going for 94 years. And now we're honored to add to that legendary group of people. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 2018 class of the WGN Radio Walk of Fame.
And we actually have an ancient Walk of Famer here, one of the elders, Dave Ennett.
The elders?
Yes.
We call him Pop.
Being one of the elders.
Well, I mean, you're one of the guys.
Bring us fire, Dave.
Can we call you Pa? Like Ma and Pa?
Pa Ennett.
Pa Ennett.
No.
Congratulations to the class, starting with Pierre Andre. Pierre Andre, an announcer first, program host at WGN Radio for over 30 years, starting in 1930. Dance hall music broadcast led to hosting one of radio's first programs before a live audience at WGN's 10th anniversary celebration. Andre also emceed presentations on the Michigan Avenue Playhouse. We got those cool photographs upstairs on the 7th floor, and you see those balcony shots from the front of the Tribune Tower. And he was one of the MCs of those shots where people would dress up in their finery and come out on a Saturday night and watch bands and orchestras play from the Tribune Tower.
Oh, wow.
So, cool deal. Okay. Andre was also Uncle Andy on Little Orphan Annie. He sang the show's theme song and sold Ovaltine.
Really?
He was the pitchman for Ovaltine. A sales poster for Andre's weekday show proclaimed him as, quote, one of the outstanding commercial men in the industry, Pierre Andre. Congratulations.
Cool. I knew that from Christmas Story.
Same deal.
Yeah.
And David Kaplan.
Ah, it's our guy.
David Kaplan. Congratulations, Capper. Leading sports voice and personality, has been affiliated with this radio station for many, many years until he cashed out and ran and took the money.
That wasn't what he did.
Cap spent 21 years with us, mostly on the program Sports Central. He has gone on to a tremendous career in dance. He's gone on to a tremendous career and continues to light it up on NBC Sportsnet Chicago. And on his daily program on ESPN. So congratulations, Capper.
Ooh, Cappy.
Be good to see Cap again. We don't see Cap much anymore.
No. We see him on Facebook, though, and Instagram.
I don't look at those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to watch Cap in the shower? And
I don't watch Cap in the shower that much. Oh. No.
It's entertaining.
Also, a legend. I love this. Play-by-play announcer for DePaul University basketball. Hosted sports talk shows left and right. Worked with the legends, Brickhouse, Carey, Wally Phillips, Bob Collins. From late 81 through 1994, he was sports producer, sports reporter, managing editor and director. He co-hosted with headliner Jack Brickhouse, the original Sports Central, from 1982, and went on to become Chicago's longest-running sports show. Welcome to the Walk of Fame, Chuck Swirsky.
Woo.
Wow.
Swirsk.
Good morning.
Finally, we're going to put you in concrete.
Well, number one, I want to thank all the fine people at WGN for this honor. And I mean this sincerely from the bottom of my heart, Steve, that I'm very humbled. As you know, GN is a very, very special place. And it remains a special place. But during that period of time when I worked there, enunciated beautifully some of the names that I worked with, and they are true legends, no question about it.
Give me a Brickhouse story. Give me a quick Brickhouse anecdote, one you love.
Wow. Well, there are many. I'll share one with you. We're on the Kennedy Expressway. He and I are driving back from a speaking engagement, and we're talking about ball players. And I said, Jack, you know, I'm not sure this guy should be in the big leagues. We're talking about an unnamed player, and he was with another team at the time. And he goes, Chuck, let me tell you something. If he puts on a big league uniform, he's a big leaguer. And
you listen to me, young man.
That one for a while, and I said, "Okay, well, sure, why not?"
Don't you ever say anything to Brad to the Brick again? He must have been a blast to work with.
That was, you know, the office that I shared when I came to GN. John Drury, a legend, a newscaster anchor who was phenomenal, and Jack Brickhouse, and I just listened. I stayed in my lane. And the stories they share.
Oh, can't imagine.
Wow.
10% of which you could tell. Dave, say hi to Swerce.
Swerce, congratulations again.
Thank you, David. And I appreciate it. Thank you.
You know, I remember we used to do a vignette which ran in the Bears games, Know Your Bears.
Yeah.
And I used to produce with Jack. You would sit down in the studio with Jack, and we're talking about events that happened 30 years earlier, in the 50s, games that he called at Wrigley Field, and we would say, Jack, okay, the copy would say, okay, on December 13th, 1958, and Jack would say, wait a minute, that's not the way it went down. I was there. And he had an encyclopedic mind about details, about events he had called. And it was like sitting with George Halas, who's somebody who had founded the game because he had seen it all.
That's cool.
And you remember that?
I remember that. You know what, David, since we're on the subject of Jack, let me tell you what, and I know the millennials have never heard a broadcast of Jack, with the exception when they hear clips on the radio on GN or if they go on YouTube. In my opinion, this is just my opinion, I think he is one of the greatest, not only broadcasters, sports broadcasters, but communicators our city has ever seen.
I'd say that's true.
No question.
The variety of things that guys from that era covered, but Brickhouse did everything. All right, Swerce, we look forward to seeing you, man. Congratulations.
Okay, thank you. Be well.
That's Chuck Swirsky. And when we come back, two more names to add to the Walk of Fame.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 2018 class of the WGN Radio Walk of Fame.
We continue with our remaining two members of this class of 2018. And this is a little awkward for Andrea because this is her ex-husband.
All right. We were not going to go public with that until I had a chance to speak with him. It's been a long time, but I miss my man. I do.
Before Tom Skilling was a household name, there was this guy, a native of South Holland. This meteorologist updated Chicagoans on the city's ever-changing weather patterns for many, many years. 50 weather reports and great laughs every week from 1965 to 1998. That's a pretty good run.
Mm-hmm. That's my guy.
Announcing some of his forecasts from the full weather station at his home. Was that legal? Well, there was no Homeland Security Department then. He said the weather is so predictable he could generally make an accurate forecast by looking out the window, but we all know how talented Roger Treemster was and what an important part of the Wally Phillips, Bob Collins, and Spike Odell programs
yes.
at times.
Love Roger. Woo-hoo!
Roger Treemster.
Roger.
88 years young. We look forward to seeing Roger soon.
You know,
hopefully he'll still want to see me after our messy divorce.
It was ugly.
It was.
You read about it in the tabloids.
I did.
You know, he is a guy. I wish Roger were working here now that we are the home of the White Sox.
Oh, my God.
There was no bigger White Sox fan.
He was one of the first to buy, when they won in 05, mm-hmm. to actually buy one of the rings. I want to say as the team got theirs.
Yeah, he loves
the original
loves
ring.
Him. Loves him, loves him, loves him.
Love Roger.
And one of our own, ladies and gentlemen, live from the seventh floor, Mary Vandeveld. Welcome to the Walk of Fame.
Thank you, guys. Woo. This is very humbling experience.
How about that?
Yeah, it was a shocker. It was definitely a shocker.
Worked with Wally, worked with Bob, worked with Spike, worked with Kathy and Judy, worked with Brandmeier. Obviously can't hold a show. And congratulations.
Thank you so much.
We're very proud of you.
Well, you know, you guys are my family, and this is just cool to be, I mean, this family to become a member of, you know, is crazy.
Have you told your kids yet?
Because
you just found out yesterday.
No.
Well, I thought it was yesterday.
No.
Okay. Well, you told your kids.
I did tell my kids.
And were they excited, I hope?
They were very excited. And
well,
that's
cool.
They call it the major award, like on the Christmas Story, you know, with the big leg.
Yeah.
So I said, kids, I won a major award.
That's pretty funny.
Like, Mom, is it fragile? You know. So fragile. It's kind of funny. Fragile. My mistake was I did tell my mom because I was just so excited.
Oh, that's nice.
I had to tell... She told everyone in the home.
She said, can't go in for
I
soup
said, Mom,
time now.
This is a secret. You're not supposed to say anything. And all of a sudden, I go to bingo, and one of the ladies is whispering, oh, congratulations. I go, what? And
all so, of a sudden, I go to bingo. Yeah, there's a sentence you don't hear that often.
Yes,
you know, Jalen Rose's grandmother found out.
Oh.
Yeah. She brought it up.
You know what she said?
Up.
Go blue.
That's all she said.
I did tell Spider.
100. Go blue. Yeah.
Go blue.
Well, Mary, it's you and Pierre Andre and David Kaplan and Roger Treemster and Chuck Swirsky.
Wow.
It's a fun bunch.
Crazy. Bunch of guys.
And by the way, we will ask Mary to do traffic on Induction Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do I have to work that day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Congratulations.
Thank you guys so much.
High five from the first floor to the seventh floor. And hi, everybody on CLTV. If you just joined us, we just announced the Walk of Fame class for 2018. All right, let's see this. Take a break. Come back. News in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well, you're going to celebrate Passover. You're going to do it with great food. Great food and great family. Our friend from Max and Benny's. You're doing more Patty Vasquez Showtime now than Patty is.
I don't think that's
You're
the
on
case.
A lot, man. Good to see you. Identify yourself for this.
I am John Sobel from Max and Benny's, Director of Catering.
And John has been a friend of the radio station for a long time, and Max and Benny's a legend. You know, I like to say if you're going to eat anywhere, eat at Max and Benny's.
And we appreciate that.
There you go. All right, so let's get right after it now. Passover, huge week.
Huge week. Beyond huge.
All right, and what are we going to be looking for when we go to Max and Benny's?
All the fixings from soup to charosis.
And, John, as far as translations go, I'm going to get to the Rosetta Stone for Passover.
Okay.
So you'll be able to understand what's being said.
Because I just had... Did I just eat charosis? No, that's matzo ball soup that you
that's
had.
That's matzo ball soup. I mean.
And the best matzo ball soup anywhere.
It's phenomenal.
Andre would like to talk right now, but she can't because she's eating matzo ball soup.
I love matzo ball soup. How hard is this to make?
It's actually pretty easy. It's a lot of work involved in getting it done for the amount that we have to do. But for your home, it's not that hard.
So, that's a good point. How much matzo ball soup do you have to make?
Well, matzo balls and soup are sold separately, of course. And matzo balls, we do normally 3,000 for a day. For Passover, we'll do 10 or 15,000 for a day.
That's a lot of matzo balls. That's a lot of matzo balls.
Oh, yes.
All right. And keep going. What else?
And then, of course, the chicken broth. And we were making, you know, thousands and thousands of gallons. So that's, you know, again, for the holidays.
And all from one chicken.
Oh, it's one chicken? Is that how it's done?
So one chicken. Thank God. No, we actually have many, many chickens.
And yes.
Then, you know, you can...
The hardworking chickens of Max and Benny's. All right, now you have plates set up here with just about everything on them. So let's go through for the people on TV. You can point to the items for the folks on TV and describe them for the folks on the radio.
Okay, so I have the first plate, which we have here, is the traditional beginning of the Passover. So I have matzah, of course, which is an unleavened baked bread, for lack of a better word. And then we have gefilte fish, and I have a little bit of red horseradish that goes along with that. And that's ground with carrots and celery and boiled in fish juice.
The gefilte fish, also fantastic. When was the last time you had good gefilte?
Here's the funny part. This is amazing. I've never had gefilte.
You've never had gefilte fish?
That's why I'm fascinated by this. But it's fish.
It's fish.
So what's what is the word gefilte mean?
That's the noise the fish makes when it's
it
caught.
Makes gefilte?
Yeah.
It's
Oy, gefilte.
It's a Yiddish term meaning blended.
Blended fish.
Yes.
Yes. So it's whitefish and trout And then onions, carrots, celery, all ground together.
All ground together.
Right. In olden days, you know, when it was first created, it was usually a good fish, a nice white fish, and then a bottom feeder, a cheaper fish, so that you can blend it together.
I'm a bottom feeder.
Well, this shows how little I know. I thought the legendary story was there was a shortage of particular foods, so you would blend the foods together, right, so you would get more out of them.
Right. It was whitefish. There was a big shortage, so you couldn't serve whitefish.
Okay, so I can go back to Temple.
Yes, you can go to Temple. Close. So you couldn't just do whitefish fillets, so they used whitefish and other fish that were easily found, blend it together, and make
Have you tried the gefilte?
I think it's delicious. It reminded me of a little bit of a tuna patty.
It's whitefish and trout.
Yeah, like so a it's tuna got this. Salad patty.
But there's
that you put
there's
in
like a sweetness of something.
Oh, some sugar in there.
Sugar.
That's John. Sugar? The sweetness and sugar. That's John. Yeah, that's John.
That's me. You're right.
Okay, John, have you tried it with kale? Have you ever blended kale into it?
He didn't want to ruin it, Dave.
He did not want to ruin it.
I don't think it would
we could try that if you want to place a special order. We can try that for you.
Yeah, it'd be a great way for Max and Benny's to eventually just come. Max and nobody's coming here anymore.
The last item on that plate is horosis, which is part of the Seder, which is a Hebrew word for order. The story of the Exodus from slavery to freedom is told in the order that it became. The horosis, which is a nut, wine, apple mixture, is representative of the mortar that the Jews used to build the pyramids.
Right. Now, it's not actual mortar. It's symbolic.
Because this wouldn't hold a brick wall.
No, it would not hold anything.
Right now.
Right.
It's good, but it's not going to hold a brick wall.
The red, that, is that part of, is it
the
horseradish?
The red stuff is horseradish for the gefilte fish.
Oh, God, yes. They're good.
Right. All of this available on the menu, but we're just getting started because we have multiple plates here.
Absolutely.
So let's go to plate.
This is blowing me away. Can I tell you that? I have always wanted to taste this. I'm not kidding. This is absolutely phenomenal.
Did you think you needed a membership to get to Max and Benny's? It's been around for a while.
32 years.
Is that right?
32 years.
Well, I've been busy.
I know you had your knee replaced. I understand. It's been
all right. Plate two.
Brisket, which is a traditional.
Brisket. You can't beat brisket.
Lean brisket, and that comes. We also do it with a chicken as well at the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And then we have kishki, which comes with it, and matzah kugel. Again,
Wait,
using the matzah instead of noodles.
And Dave, you can speak to this. Kishki and matzah kugel played for the Bears in the 60s, didn't they?
They did. We were talking earlier about the games at Wrigley Field. Awesome.
What is kishki?
Kishki is a vegetable mixture, again, blended, and then it's put into a natural casing.
Okay.
That's your kishki casing.
Kishki casing, yes.
And matzah kugel?
Matzah kugel is another apple that this is why I like Passover so much, because Max and Benny's, we use a lot of apples. It's apples, matzah, eggs, and made into a kugel.
Well, what kind of apples?
Fantastic.
Is there
Granny Smith?
Granny Smith?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Very good. And then that's where a traditional kugel would be with noodles. We use the matzah to replace the noodles.
I do not mean to be offensive. Are these actual words, or do you make them up?
No, they are actual words.
This is why he can't get into Temple. And plate three.
And plate three is dessert. One of the fun things about what we're doing at Max and Benny's is now Passover desserts taste really good.
Mm-hmm. When
I started in this business in 1980, you would try, a baker would hand you a sweet and say, try this. And I tried it and said, God, that's horrible. She said, no, that's for Passover. It's, oh, no, then it's really good.
Right.
Now it's
but
really good
said,
no
get,
matter
you
what.
You'd get a cookie. You know, yes, if you're lucky, you'd get a cookie.
Exactly.
You'd get more than a cookie now.
Well, now you have macaroons, mandelbread, chocolate chip cookies. We have all different kinds of mandelbread
it's
here.
It's like a biscotti kind.
Yeah, it's like a biscotti.
Dipped
it's
in
mandelbread.
Chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And we also have cakes, banana cake, sponge cake, honey cake.
How much of this stuff could be made at home as well as you guys make it? The answer would be none.
Oh, of course you can do it at home, but who has the time to do it?
That's right. Why not go to Max and Benny's? You guys are so busy now. You must need reservations for Passover get-togethers.
Actually, the in-house reservations are all sold out. We do have a waiting list if you'd like to call, and you can get on the waiting list and hope for the best.
People still
do cancel. We do catering. Oh, yes. And we are still taking orders today and tomorrow.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. Ooh. And the holiday starts at sundown on Friday night.
We're going to need a couple extra rabbis. It's a great time, and it's a wonderful celebration of family and faith, and it's a wonderful thing. So we love you, Max and Benny's.
What's the order?
Oh, John!
No!
He's so
I mean, when you're doing this, do you have to eat it in a certain order?
Well, you eat this the first plate with the gefilte fish and the matzo.
So this starts.
That's the appetizer. That's
the appetizer.
Then usually you do the matzo ball soup in between.
Okay.
And then the entree, and then dessert.
Right.
Okay. And if
much like other humans do.
God, I don't like Steve tonight.
So the dessert comes last, John.
Usually it comes last.
Yes, John.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But now you're hooked on Max and Benny's.
This is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you right now, this is absolutely phenomenal.
He's not wrong. MaxandBennies.com. Passover and the story of and the food that you love and the food that you didn't know you loved until you came here today and had John feed you.
Exactly.
There you go.
And we appreciate it.
Nice to see you, my friend.
My pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Passover starts Friday, and it's also Good Friday, of course. The weekend holiday continues, but Max and Benny's hours are?
On Friday, we will be, or every day, we're open 7 o'clock in the morning mm-hmm. until 8:30 at night, and that's Saturday till 9.
Busy week. Busy week.
Yep.
John, in exchange for the fine food you're eating now, Max and Benny's going to need you in the dish room all week.
I'm there. Yeah. I am there. Yeah. I will clean it. All the dishes.
So, come back.
I'm not washing anything, but I will clean
my
all the
pleasure.
Dishes.
Hey, by the way, say hi to your family. I think they're watching on CLTV right now. There you go. Back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's 9:26. John DeCosta is here. Mary Vandeveld no longer talking to us now that she's a Walk of Fame member. She said she can only talk to Ennett now.
You know, she drove me into this morning and never said a word to me.
No, I'm not surprised.
Couldn't talk to you.
Not surprised. I remember
I had to sit in the back.
I remember her when she wasn't a Walk of Fame member. It feels like minutes ago. John, we need to say thank you to the fine people of Crystal Lake.
The Rouse Center.
We had a great time.
We had a wonderful time. Everybody who came out was so nice. But Richard Caranda and Miriam and Carolyn, they all, the staff there, that theater is so wonderful. And, you know, and I want to mention this because that lady came up to me at the end of the show, my pillow lady.
Yeah, the quick story here is there's a woman that I gave my pillows to.
Right.
And she had not received the MyPillows, so John, in following up to make sure that she got the MyPillows, got one of our folks, Kevin McDonough, to coordinate a delivery.
The
delivery turned out to be four of the smaller pillows instead of two of the regular pillows and two of the smaller pillows. So John then coordinated by using his credit card, getting the actual MyPillows for her. So she ended up with about 37 pillows.
But she brought her friends, and she was so sweet. And that's the first time we met.
That's
We've talked
nice.
On the phone many times. But that's the kind of stuff we absolutely love after the show. And
tremendous.
Everybody did well, and everybody. The only one who struggled was Steve.
Kidding.
And that's a lie.
Steve killed.
After your last show, I came up to
Steve
you and
Steve is hysterical.
After your last show, I came up to you guys and asked you all about the app gift cards and the Lumel Nighties pizza, and I'm still waiting for those. So
yes.
You'll
have to call.
John, that'd be great.
Thank you. I got my own Max and Benny's mug.
Me
I love
too.
This. It's fantastic. What a
cool.
nice gift.
Oh, thank
love
you.
Love it.
All right, we continue to get texts in on Brushes with Sister Jean. Brushes with Sister Jean.
Uh-huh.
262. My aunt's name is Jean. She had a sister.
Oh, see that?
920. When I was growing up, my neighbor Margie was Catholic.
Wow.
Seems like a bit of a stretch, but not
That's really.
Really
good.
847. Brushes with Sister Jean. My new YouTube channel is called Brushes with Sister Jean. I was going to take turns with Sister Jean brushing her hair. We never even recorded the first episode. I don't know why she didn't show up. I seem okay to me.
I seem okay.
That's so good.
Brushes with Sister Jean, 708. I used to date Gene Simmons' sister.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
Gene. 773, my son went to Loyola. He tried to get into Sister Jean's class, but all the athletes got first choice, so he wasn't able to. Very popular class. Also, my sister went to Mundelein, which is now Loyola, and apparently Sister Jean lived in the same building in Coffee Hall. It's like I know her.
Oh.
That is just like it.
Uh-huh.
So brushes with Sister Jean, 708. Hey, Steve, I went to the Sherwin-Williams store with my Sister Jean, and guess what we bought? That's right, brushes.
These are
tremendous.
I love our listeners.
630. I have hair. Sister Jean has hair. I brush my hair. Sister Jean brushes her hair. Hey, you do the math.
Oh. Remember when we did that remote from Loyola? Is it the business school?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Right here.
Was she there? Did we meet her?
She had no time for us.
She didn't have any time for us?
No. She was doing stuff. She had stuff to do.
Okay.
She goes, I don't know what's going on with the shenanigans of these knuckleheads, but I don't have time for this. Yeah.
We're going to the Final Four in 4 years. That's what she said.
Is that what she said?
Yes.
Okay. 773, switch up on a theme here. My brother-in-law's name is Gene. He's married to my sister. That's different.
Right.
847, I used to transport patients to Loyola Medical. One of them might have been named Gene.
God.
847, I sat next to Ray Meyer during a mass, didn't realize it was the coach until we were holding hands during the Our Father prayer. He probably knew Sister Jean.
I bet he did.
That's pretty good. That's actually not bad.
727. Sister Jean was my friend's advisor at Mundelein. My friend decided to sleep one day and skip class. Sister Jean went to get her. Don't mess with Sister Jean.
Oh, yeah. Don't mess with Sister Jean. That's a good one. That is a good one.
847. I work at Loyola. Sister Jean is truly amazing. Until she recently broke her hip, she literally would run across campus. She's the real deal. Go Ramblers. That's a good story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is good.
Maybe that's why she's in the wheelchair.
Because of the hip?
Yeah,
it could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. 815, I brush my hair while singing Cheer Up, Sister Jean.
Cheer Up, Sister Jean.
It's a classic. Sleepy Jean. It would be Sleepy Jean.
Yeah.
But it's close.
312, my Sister Jean wears jeans that match Sister Jean's jeans. Wouldn't it be cool if Sister Jean had a jean clothing line called Sister Jean's? Huh? That's
wow.
She should trademark
that. How much wood would Woodchuck Chuck?
If a Woodchuck Jean.
And this is the final one for this time portion of the show before we come back with headlines from the 727 for our friends at CLTV and on 720 WGN. Hey, good morning. Billie Jean is not my lover. She's just a girl who claims I'm the one. That's the entire text right there. There you go.
But the kid is not her son?
Something like that, yeah. Sister Jean. Brushes with Sister Jean. I didn't have time for this one. My grandmother was a seamstress. She may have made one of her outfits. People are very close to Sister Jean.
So good.
Headlines next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
My friend Orion Samuelson rejoins us now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, and hope you are all well, and let me offer my congratulations to Mary and the other members of the Walk of Fame. My congratulations and welcome to the club.
The traditional hazing will go on?
Yes, it will.
Yes. And Mary Vandeveld, I don't know if you're aware, but you do have to buff all of the current plaques.
Oh, is that my initiation, right? I'll gladly do that.
Yeah, plaque buffing.
And then wax them and clean them.
Well, I don't know about that.
You know, we're coming up on the 85th anniversary of a very important agricultural event. In 1933, May 15th, 1933, so we're still about 6-7 weeks away, Rear Admiral Richard E. Byrd was leading an expedition at the bottom of the world in Antarctica, mapping Antarctica, and he was a big fan of milk. Now, they had a lot of milk, but it was not the good stuff. Right. I mean, they had dried milk. They had evaporated milk. He really wanted milk. So they got some money together in New York City at the Commodore Hotel. And some of the investors said, we got to do something for the admiral, risking his life at the bottom of the world. And they flew 4 dairy cows to Antarctica to supply milk to Admiral Byrd. To this point in time, it is still the longest known milk delivery in the history of the world, from New York upstate New York dairy country all the way to Antarctica to bring the real thing. Because, you know, there's no substitute. It's like you always say, oh, it's not almond milk. It's almond juice.
And beverage.
Yes.
And I think that's finally beginning to happen. I'm beginning to see, like, almond. It's called Almond Breeze now, and they don't really refer to it as milk.
Because they don't want to mess with you.
Well, I hope not.
Yes.
I don't want to mess with them either, but I'll have to if they continue.
Yeah, with their nonsense. Andrea.
Orion, I found a story that is of interest to you for many reasons. I'll just read you the headline. Eggs dropped at an Easter egg event in Arizona may have been contaminated. Apparently, I guess in the Mojave Valley neighborhood, they were warned that eggs were dropped from a plane, like a crop duster that they were dropping down. And the kids rushed out to get the eggs, and they said that they might have been contaminated. So that's my question to you. The tank of the crop duster, how would they have contaminated the eggs if they were covered in some sort of herbicide?
I don't know, because I'm here in Arizona, and the story did get a fair amount of attention, mm-hmm. but not a great deal. But the shell of the egg is pretty protective of the ingredients of the egg, and so I'm not quite sure. Maybe there was some crop dust that covered the outside of the egg, but really wouldn't have an impact on the inside.
Interesting story.
Yes, yeah. And it did get a fair amount of attention out here.
Mr. DeCosh, you have a question?
I do. Orion,
is it about your knee? Because Orion is not an orthopedist.
Oh, see, I was way off then.
Have you said hello?
I can answer questions about knees.
Yes, have you said hello to John's new knee yet?
No, I haven't.
Well, feel
hello,
free.
Knee. Hello, John's knee.
Oh, my God. Can we? I want that clip.
I'll bet you do.
I want that clip. Orion, I don't mean to. Do you? Are you going to come back here for the summer? Is that?
Yes.
Can I ask that?
I'm definitely hoping to. I'm just waiting to get clearance from the Mayo doctors.
Because you owe me money, and I am a little tired.
To undergo, so they'll keep me from flying for a little bit.
Just a little bit more. Okay, good. Good.
So I really want to come back for the Walk of Fame event.
Oh, it'd be great.
I'm asking the doctors because I think I am the only person who has worked with all of the members of the inductees, including Pierre André. And we had a studio named after him at Bradley Place. It was the Pierre André Studio.
Is that right?
Yeah. And he followed when I came to WGN in 1960 and did the hour-long show at noon that then was called Country Fair with a band. Pierre André would follow with a record show. And a couple of things. There's a story I can't tell because of the language, but a couple of things that I found interesting about Pierre André, who in his day was certainly known across the country. He couldn't read a clock. The producer had to sit alongside him in the studio, and before the record would come to an end, he'd tell Pierre, okay, it's 10 minutes to 2.
Well, how do you not know how to tell time?
I don't know.
That's fascinating.
I never figured that out.
Was he like dyslexic maybe or something?
Dyslexic?
I don't know the answer, but I know they had a producer sitting alongside
that?
Saying, okay, Pierre, this is what time.
You know what I never asked you? When you came to GN in 1960. What was the reception like? Was a new kid in 1960 greeted well by the established stars of the day, or did you have to kind of earn your keep?
I was greeted very well, and Eddie Hubbard was doing the morning show, and then, of course, Wally came to the studios, and I was greeted very warmly by them. But, yeah, I was looked at as the Green Farm Kid from Green Bay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Wisconsin Yahoo.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Dave,
and it took me 2 weeks to decide I would accept the offer.
I know. That's
so
a great
I
look
story. Back on that. That's
such
one
a great
of the scarier
story.
Moments of my life.
And here's what people don't know. Orion and Max got together only after Max was threatened by a friend of his when Max considered not joining the team.
First time I heard Max, which was a tape interview that he did for the Illinois Farm Bureau, and I said to Lottie Kearns, who was our producer secretary for 30
years. Nah, we loved Lottie. Years. Yeah.
Yeah, Lottie is doing fine here.
Great.
From her regularly.
Great.
And I said to Lottie, I said, if I ever need a new partner, I'm going after him. And so the day came, and I went after him, and no. He was on the volunteer fire department down in Bloomington, and that's where he wanted to be. And I finally had to call his boss, who I knew and who was a good friend. I said, you know, I'm trying to get Max to come to work. I know you don't want to lose him. And he said, no, we don't. But to have the opportunity to go to WGN, he can't turn that down.
Right.
So Bill Allen went to McDonald's and got some hamburgers or whatever they called them at the time and drove out to see Max and said, okay, Max, you have to do this.
Right. Bought him lunch at McDonald's, and they sat there and talked, and Max came to work, and the rest is history.
The rest is history. We worked together 42 years.
How about that?
So
goes by in an instant. All right. Now, yesterday I asked you a question. What can you tell us, in some sort of quantifiable measure, is going to happen to the average farmer if NAFTA is done away with and these trade wars go on?
Well, the trade war with China would be very critical, because last year China imported $19.6 billion worth of U.S. farm goods.
Wow.
And soybeans accounted for $12.4 billion. China is the biggest buyer of U.S. soybeans, but we're not the only supplier. Brazil and Argentina in South America, those countries combined, now produce more soybeans than we produce here in the U.S. So the soybean grower would be hit hard. But farmers and exporters, while worried, also noted that corn and soybeans were not listed in the China list of retaliation products. So at that point, you know, there was hope that soybeans wouldn't be. The other thing, China is the third biggest buyer of pork from the United States, and we're beginning to get more beef going into China, the unfrozen beef, and that hasn't grown to a large market yet, but it indeed is growing. And when you take a look at the overall American trade balance, agriculture continues to be far and away one commodity that does have a positive trade balance. In January, for example, we exported $11.3 billion worth of agricultural products. We imported $11 billion worth, and so that gave us a trade balance of $304,955,000 in the agricultural community. So it would have a large impact.
It's a big deal.
Particularly if soybeans.
It's a very big deal. Well, I appreciate the math, and I just wanted people to hear it from you in particular, and please let your representatives know that blowing up NAFTA is a really bad idea. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, have a good week.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Because you guys have been hogging Sister Jean.
Yeah.
Because Sister Jean only does the Bill and Wendy show.
Yeah.
All we could do this morning was brushes with Sister Jean.
Oh,
I loved it.
That counts.
There's
a few more. My great aunt Dorothy was a BVM. BVM?
Yep. Blessed Virgin
Mary.
Mary.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Dubuque.
She listens, and Jean has known her and my family her whole life.
Oh.
Isn't that nice?
It's very nice.
414, I was very loyal of watching I Dream of Jeannie in the 70s.
It counts.
So, 314, my son, Wendy, this is a good mom one. My son Patrick lived in the same dorm as Sister Jean at Loyola. He dropped a pair of freshly laundered, thank God, boxers when leaving the laundry room. Guess who picked them up?
Sister Jean.
Oh. Hmm?
630, Bob Ross had a lot of close brushes with Sister Jean.
Get it?
231.
Happy
231. Sister Jean is Catholic, so am I. I have an Aunt Jean who's also Catholic, can't speak for the bear or the woods. Okay?
Yeah.
And the last one, 312. W. Jean and boom.
Oh, wow. Slam dunk.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
Steve,
about.
Steve, very quickly.
Take your time.
I had two favorite moments from your show today.
Oh,
can I just share them with you?
I'd love if you went on and on.
During the show business report with Dean Richards, mm-hmm. the way it usually works is Dean tells a story about show business, and then you set him up by saying the name of the next celebrity. You'll say, oh, Katy Perry's in the news, or George Clooney.
Yes, only a schooled veteran of the business could pick that out.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So today he's doing a story, and then cut to you saying, Olivia de Havilland.
That was good.
That was beautiful.
And millennials everywhere going,
right?
Were you as surprised as I was that she bit Beyonce's face?
Yeah. It's not like Olivia de Havilland.
It was a shock.
And then the other moment, you know, Mary Vandeveld, much deserved,
walk
now in the Walk of Fame.
She's a waffer.
But did you
She's
hear
a waffer.
Did you hear her nickname for the Bishop Ford Freeway?
No.
Listen to this. This was from earlier today. Listen.
The Ryan's 24 from 95th. The bitch slow on 57.
That's no way to talk.
Let's do it on today's show.
Walk of Famers.
Thanks so much, Bill.
That's not right.
Wow, I didn't even pick that up.
I hope
Walk
that's
one more time. Suddenly you can work blue.
Mary, are you profiling expressways?
Oh, my gosh. What is the first rule of thumb in broadcast? When you know you made a mistake, just keep going.
Well, let me hear it.
No, again. Play it again. That's what it is.
Play it again.
Four from 95th. The bitch slow on 57, 150.
That's not nice.
Although, in Mary's defense, most roads at that time in the morning can be described
that's
that
true.
Way.
Thank you, Andre.
Yes.
That's true.
I don't know. If the bitch is slow, I don't know why you got to point it out.
And I take pride in never swearing on the air.
Well, not so much anymore.
Did. Even I've never done that, Mary. Wow.
What?
Good luck following that.
Yeah, but think how you talk off the air.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know what?
See you later.
For this, I'm willing to wait. Go ahead, play again.
Yeah. Like you had a choice.
I'm anxious
One
to
more.
Hear Steve now.
Steve. The Ryan's right, 24 from 95th. The bitch slow on 57.
It just gets better and better.
It's done.
That's good.
See you tomorrow.